The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on a parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Just after I was ordained, I met a priest with a long white beard. He's referred affectionately as the Santa Claus priest. And he was very inspirational, which prompted me to approach him and talk to him and relate to him about some of my early struggles in the priesthood. For example, when I got yelled at when some of the kids in the youth group were playing with the bingo balls and lost a few of them, and I did not go very well with the bingo people. Or when I got yelled at because there was snow on the steps of the church, because there was a blizzard. And when I got yelled at by some of the folks in the back of the church, we couldn't hear you. Well, that's because the speaker went out in the back of the church, like that was my fault. And of course, this prompted the Santa Claus priest to ask me, "Peter, do you pray?" I went, "Of course I pray. What priest doesn't pray?" And he said, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you pray, are your batteries recharged? Are you transformed into someone that you can do things that you were never able to do before?" I says, "Well, no, prayer doesn't always do that for me." He says, "Then you need to learn how to pray, because that's what prayer should do." It's true. Remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane? He was a mess. He was down on the ground, sweating profusely. And he asked his father to spare him from the cup that he had to drink from. He looked like a soldier that wanted to desert the army. Not long after that, he left the garden. He looked like a 5-star general that was ready to save the world, which he did. What happened? What happened in that short period of time? Prayer. That's what prayer should look like. To transform us. Some of you know I went against my better judgment and started running marathons. Now, the goal of the marathon is not just to cross the finish line. No, the marathons are about what you do before you get to the start line. It's those lonely hours at 4 a.m. in the training, in the darkness, in the cold. It's about listening to your coach when you think he's crazy, pushing you further. It's about the listening to good advice of people who have experience before it. It's before the finish line that you charge up the batteries. It's before the finish line. It's before the start line. It's during that period of time that you're transformed to be able to do something that you thought you never were able to do before. And that's exactly the reason why Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He goes in there to listen to his Father, to get advice, to charge up the batteries, to transform himself, to do things that he never did when he was a kid in Nazareth. Now, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to give sight to the blind, to save the world. And that's the reason why we need Lent. We need 40 days. This is our time to charge up the batteries, to transform ourselves, to be able to do things we're never able to do before. To be able to forgive like we've never forgiven before. To be able to make promises and keep promises like we've never did ever. To be generous at levels we've never before done. To do things we didn't think we were ever able to do. You know, Christianity isn't just about attempting to do great things. It's about what you do before you attempt to do great things.